Amen. And I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it. We have a tendency to think that just because seasons are dry, that vision is dead. It is kind of human nature when you don't feel the momentum of a thing, or when you don't feel as productive as you have in prior seasons, it is easy to get depressed in what may be a dry season. But dry doesn't mean dead. Sometimes it's just time to redig. Amen. Sometimes it's time for us to redig. And the truth of the matter is that sometimes when we think a season is dry, we tend to try to find alternative routes. Do I have a witness in here? You felt like God wasn't moving quick enough, so you just went and married anybody. Okay. You got tired of being alone, so you just got with anybody. And so in a dry season, we find alternative mates. In a dry season, I'm going to say it again, testing 1, 2, 3. In dry seasons, we find alternative mates. Somebody that you know ain't no good, and they may be good, but they're just not good for you. It is possible to be both Christian and still unequally yoked. Do I have a witness in this room today? It is possible to read the same Bible and still don't have the same morals. It is possible to go to the same church and still don't serve the same God. Okay, do I have any witnesses in here? It is possible, watch this, I need somebody that's compatible. It is possible for you to have a great chemistry, but they are still no good for your divine destiny. And so in dry seasons, we find alternative mates. We find alternative careers. You even find an alternative devotion. Mm-hmm. Your devotion is anything that you devote your time to. And so some of you then traded fasting and praying for scrolling and gossiping. So, oh my God, see, you got real quiet, right? I'm talking about that route that you created when you were bored. I'm talking about the journey that you created that is anti the will of God. And we think just because God allowed it that it is his will. But God will give you what you want if you want it bad enough. How many of you can say God gave me what I wanted and I found out it was anti my destiny? Can I talk to you for a minute? God will even give you who you want and allow them to destroy your life. I guess I'm not talking to nobody. You wanted them. You said you loved them. And God will say, here, you can have them on a platter. But by the time they get done with you, you're going to be trying to find an altar and say, God, not my will, but I want your will to be done in my life. Has anybody ever created their own route? Has anybody ever created their own route because you got tired of waiting? Has anybody ever tried to create a false destiny because you were too impatient to wait on the eternal God? Am I talking to anybody in this room? Am I talking to some people that tried to make some things happen prematurely? Am I talking to... Oh, okay, so y'all gonna act like that. Am I talking to some people that felt like God wasn't moving quick enough, so you just created your own thing? What do you do in desert seasons? Okay, let's go to Isaiah 43:19. Isaiah 43:19. Most of the people you slept with, you would have never slept with them if you wasn't in a dry season. Most of the people you've gossiped about, they would have never even been for the sake of conversation if you were busy minding your own business. In a dry season, you'll mess around and become a dry hater. Y'all ain't talking, but the Holy Ghost is talking. In a dry season, you'll mess around and find yourself criticizing what everybody else is doing because you are bitter about your life. You are bitter because of what you thought should have happened by now. You are bitter because you made the wrong choices. You are bitter because you see other people that are going further, faster. You are bitter. I'm talking to you because you don't want to be honest, but in a dry season, you'll become bitter and haters of everybody that look like they got something going on. Yeah, anybody ever been a dry season and you messed around and became a hater? Okay, you ain't got to raise your hand because hate and jealousy is something that y'all don't like to admit. But when you are in a desert season, it pays not to lose your life. I'm going to tell you, some of you are losing your lives to the internet. Some of you are losing your lives to scrolling. You know about everybody else's business, but you won't even make time to start a business. You know what's going on this blog. You know what's going on at this church, but you won't even show up to serve yours. I'm just talking to whoever that I'm talking to today. Yeah. What are you doing dry seasons? Isaiah 43:19. See, I am doing a new thing. That's your problem right there. You want new, but you don't like the feeling of the process of new. Yep, y'all want me to rush past this today, but I'm not. I am not going to rush past this today. Woo, I'm believing God. Woo, I can see God. This is what God is about to do. This is what God is doing. We all like the idea of new. Because of the adrenaline rush of new. We all like the high of new. But what about the dry season that you have to go through? Watch this, watch this. One of the purposes of a dry season is to break your proud will. Okay. One of the assignments of a dry season is to break your pride and your stubborn will. Do you not know that the human will is more powerful than the will of God? Uh-oh. What do you mean? Yeah, because you're a pseudo wannabe Christian and you're so pseudo Christian until you're ignorant. Listen at this and let me teach you. The will of God here, and I know y'all not gonna like this because God controls everything. If God wanted it to happen, it would have happened by now. No. Your theology is wrong. God gave man in the beginning something called a human will. I'm gonna get to that in a minute. He gave you a human will. One of the reasons why your human will is more powerful than the will of God, because God does not make you do anything. Your life, your future, and your destiny is a byproduct of the decisions that you make according to your human will. I'm waiting on God. No, you're not. God has already done everything that he gonna do. I know you don't like it, but it's the truth. Watch this. Well, what am I waiting on? You are waiting. Somebody say, I am. A tripod. Human being. Come on, say it again. Say, I am. A tripod. Human being. Say this. Say, I am. A spirit. Who has a soul. That lives in a body. Let's say it again. Say, I am. A spirit. That has a soul. That lives in a body. Watch this. So that means your body, your soul, and your spirit has its own mind. Okay, I really don't have the time to teach this right. Say it again. Say, I am
a tripod
human being.
Human being.
Watch this. One of the reasons why we struggle with new. See, your spirit has already perceived the new thing. That's why you can feel that something is about to happen. You don't really know. You don't know details, but I just feel that. That's because your spirit has already gone before you, because your spirit is eternal, right? If you are filled with the spirit, listen at this, your spirit and the spirit of God becomes one. Hear me. And because your spirit and the spirit of God becomes one, your spirit is an eternal being. The spirit never dies. The body does. Are y'all listening to me? Say it again. Say, I am.
A tripod
human being.
Woo!
And because you're a tripod human being, you got a whole lot of work to do to come under divine alignment for the will of God concerning your life. Somebody say, yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, did my computer die? Okay, let me get to my notes right here. Pull it up for me. Isaiah 43 and 19. It just came back on. Okay. Listen at this. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Can you behold it? Can you see it? Can you comprehend it? Are you perceiving, Pastor Trey, that there is something new on the horizon for you? Two things happen when you know that something new is on the horizon. You become excited, but you also become afraid, because it is human nature to fear the unknown. If it's new, even though your spirit maybe have previously perceived it, your body has never had that experience before. And when there's an experience that your body has never had before, guess what? Now you become, if you're not careful, paralyzed by the spirit of fear. Don't you know what? Everybody is not living in disobedience because they hate God. You can love God and be living in disobedience because of fear. Okay, God, well, what are you going to require of me? What am I going to have to give up? What am I going to have to embrace? And so now you start having all of these conversations in your mind. Watch this. And so now your mind is going to talk you out of doing what God is requiring of you to do. Somebody say, I cannot talk myself out of this. Come on, say it again. Say, I cannot talk myself out of this. Listen to this. It spring forth. Do you not perceive it? I'm reading the English Standard Version. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness, the dry place, and rivers in the desert. Let's go to the NIV version. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it's, glory to God. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. If you go back to verse 18 and say, do not call to mind the former things. Pay no attention to the things of old. You know, I was reading the other day about the poor shall be with you always. And I said, God, that can't be me. I ain't going to be poor. Somebody say, I ain't going to be poor. Say it just like I said it. Say, I ain't going to be poor. Listen to this, y'all. I said, the poor will be with you always. The poor will be with you always. Watch this. God gives everybody a chance and an opportunity to excel in life. Watch this. The only difference between me and the poor person is that when the poor person was given an opportunity, they were too afraid to take it. And sometimes our fear is laced in ignorance. Don't you know that ignorance is the strength of poverty? You don't have because you don't know. Okay. Listen to this. Ignorance is the strength of poverty. Watch this. Hold on now, because see. Okay. It's the strength of poverty. Watch this. But then you got another person, watch this, that can be given the information, but because of pride, they reject knowledge. You call that person a fool. It is a fool that reject. It's your Bible. It is a fool that despise wisdom. How many of you done been a fool before? You received wisdom and you still was gonna do what you wanted to do. You didn't care. I'm grown and this is what I'm gonna do. And can't nobody tell me nothing. And when life start wearing your tail out, now you wanna humble yourself after you done made stupid decisions. But somebody say, thank God for grace. Thank you. Come on, you better say it. Say, thank God for grace. Listen at this, y'all. Listen at this. Thank you, Brother Dexter. He said, I am teaching today. There's something that I want to bring out in this. Let's see. You know, we are much like the children of Israel. If you ever want to learn about your prototype or the prototype of the body of Christ, just read about the children of Israel. When the Bible talks about he's married to the backslider, that's not talking about a person that was once saved and because they drunk alcohol, they ain't saved no more. Y'all created that. The Bible don't say that. Y'all talk about backslidden people, but when the Bible refers to being backslidden, he's talking about the nation of Israel. Are you hearing me? Now, I know y'all not gonna like this, but I need you to say, my salvation is eternal. I need you, because I know y'all think you can get saved and lose it. I don't believe that. I'm sorry for people that believe that you got no. See, sometimes in life you are distracted, but just because I am distracted, that doesn't mean that I've lost my salvation. I just need to get undistracted. I just need to rededicate my life to God. I just need to rededicate my life to devotion. I just need to rededicate my life. Watch this. When the Bible talks about being backslid, he's talking about the nation of Israel, a nation of people that turned their back on the Lord. Watch this, y'all. God loved Israel so much until God allowed Israel to be held captive. God loved you so much, he'll let a foolish situation prevail in your life to break you and put you on your knees. Oh, yeah, he do. Well, if God loved them, why would they put in exile? Watch this. Because the Bible says he chastised those that he loved. Some of you have been experiencing the chastisement of the Lord because he loved you, not because he mad at you. Yeah, sometimes God would allow you to experience seasons of lack because he loves you. That's anti-God. No, it ain't. He know you worship money, so he'll allow money to be drained from your life to get you back in the posture that he found you in. It's quiet, but I'm teaching. Mm-hmm. I'm teaching. Y'all think because he loves you that everything that happens in your life contrary is the devil. No. You forgot that God is still the devil's boss. Did you forget that? If it happened, it's because God, watch this, God allowed it to happen. Hold on. Just because God allowed it to happen, it doesn't mean that it's his perfect will. Some of y'all are like, Lord, have mercy. I did not know that I was going to get whooped with this today. But you need it. You need it. God is trying to do something new. Hear me. Can you not perceive it? See, many of us are just like the children of Israel. You can't perceive what God is doing because you're so focused on things that don't even, stuff that won't even matter 30 days from now. People that won't even matter as it pertains to your prophetic destiny, and you bothered and bothered down. Look at somebody and say, no more alternative routes. Some of y'all, like the children of Israel, God has sent you a savior. God has sent you a prophet. You still gonna do what you want to do. You stiff-necked, rebellious. You a fool because you despise wisdom. That's what the Bible say. I ain't calling you out your name. That's what the Bible say. Listen to this. How many of you, oh my God, How many of you can't even perceive what God is trying to do new because you're so focused on things, people, and places that do not matter? But it do matter because I care about it. If it don't look like God's will for your life, you're distracted. Let them go. Let it go. Look at somebody and say, sometimes you gotta let it go. Doom, doom. TKO. How many of y'all know about the blues? Look at Faye. Oh, yeah. Sometimes you gotta let it go. Look at somebody and say, let it go. It's holding up your destiny. I'm gonna tell you something. One of the things, and I'm done, but one of the things that you have to grow beyond, you gotta grow beyond every season feeling good. Because every season is not gonna feel good. You gotta grow out of that. And when every season don't feel good, your nervous system is just going crazy. Because somebody lied and told you that just because it's God, it's going to always feel good. Are you hearing me? You that are listening to me online, on the podcast, in this room right now, can I tell you what God is trying to do to you? He is trying to grow you up. He's trying to grow you up. You 40 with the temperament of a 13-year-old child. 28 and you throw tantrums like you 15. In your 50s, but you don't have the discipline of a baby. I'm talking to everybody in this room. Yeah. Look at somebody and say, it's time to grow up. Come on, look at somebody else and say, it's time to grow up. Listen, 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 listen. Some of us have been in a dry season. Listen to this. Let me go back. Give me 2 minutes. The B clause of this says, I'm making a way in the wilderness. Y'all, we don't talk about them wilderness seasons. Woo! We don't talk about them desert seasons. But what you gonna do with them? There you go. You're going to learn to endure hardness as a good soldier. Watch this. Because he said, I'm making a way in the wilderness. See, the job of the enemy for you is when you get in a dry place or when you get in a season where you feel like it's unproductive or when you get in a season where you can't figure everything out, you become a busybody. But those are the seasons where you need to be still, you need to fast, you need to pray so that you can hear. Some of you right now are recovering from decisions you made in the last dry season. Amen. I'm talking to my church. I am. You done been haunted before. Why you keep calling them, getting yourself back in that mess? You, well, I know, honey, I can. And then when you get mad at your little friend, well, I know I can text somebody. Watch this. But if you always distracted by legs and biceps and triceps, let me tell you, some of y'all ain't nothing but a sucker for conversation. Because you crave attention. And in a dry season, ain't nobody calling your name and ain't nobody clapping your hands. And let me tell you something, ain't nothing like a dry season when the phone is dry. I mean, ain't nobody texting you. I mean, at least you get a text from Fashion Nova. I looked at my phone the other day. I said, my God, I didn't even get a Black Friday text from Fashion Nova. Woo, you talking about a dry season. Now, if Fashion Nova ain't text you, that's dry there, honey. I said, well, maybe I unsubscribed to it a long time ago and I forgot. But listen to this. I said, I remember time people would call me. Y'all phone so dry, baby. I was texting everybody back on Thanksgiving. I woke up, your vet had done text me first. Happy Thanksgiving. Carla text me. Some other people text me. And I'm texting back. Normally, I'd be so busy, I can't text back. Baby, I text everybody back that texts me on Thanksgiving. Phone dry. Watch this. Listen to this. My phone could be popping. But listen to this. When you understand who you are, and when you start creating healthy boundaries, some people gonna take the exit, because there are people that benefited when you were broken. There are people that benefited when you didn't know who you were. There are people that benefited when you gave them conversation because you were bored. Now when I'm bored, I call my kids and talk to them. Now when I'm bored, I call my little brother and talk to him. Now when I'm bored, child, I be even playing crossword puzzles on my phone. I refuse to call somebody when God has already shut the door in the last season. Y'all do anything when you bored, and that's why you can't perceive what God is trying to do. When you bored, honey, get a flight to go out of town somewhere. Take a new adventure. Get a new hobby. Find something that you like to do. I prophesy that if you try to reach back for them, they gonna cuss you smooth out and hurt your feelings in the name of Jesus. I decree that every assassin to your destiny that you will try to reach back for, I loose the power of the blood of Jesus. The blood shut up the way of every sex partner. The blood shut up the way of every person that you can call because of idle conversation in the name of Jesus. It is so. It is so. Let me tell you something. There are things you do when you are bored that you would never do if you were in divine destiny. Watch this. The other day I said, because I rarely get bored, and it's because I be busy. So by the time I get home, I'm ready to watch a movie and eat and go sleep. But the other day, I was a little bored, and the Lord said, that's because you were supposed to do X, Y, and Z, and you haven't done it yet. See, boredom is not the absence of people. Boredom is because you are living in disobedience. I'm talking to your little tail that finds everything to do but what God told you to do. I'm talking to you. You find a reason to wear yourself out, and then when it comes to the things of God, you acting like you tired. I bind your tiredness in the name of, look at somebody and say, I bind your tiredness in the name of Jesus. Distracted by everything but the right thing. Boredom is not the absence of people, because you can be around people and still be bored. You're uninterested. Boredom is the lack of purpose. I got an amen from the iPhone. Look at somebody and say, get in your purpose with your bored self. You got people you supposed to be mentoring and you talking about you bored. You have a ministry that you need to build and you talking about you bored. I'm gonna tell you why you bored. You bored because you are used to making people idols, and you bored because you a slave to your appetite, and you're bored because you was, I'm telling you, y'all had the most sex than anybody I'd have never seen before to be so broke. I'm talking to you. Y'all doing everything and you ain't got $20 to put in the office. What are you doing? You too broke to be in somebody else's bed. Yeah, I'm talking to you because you're having sex. I can look at you and tell you too broke to be having conversations about other people that have more in their bank account than you do. Distracted. You look at somebody and say, you distracted. You distracted. You distracted. I'm talking to my church. I know online is too much. We're going to delete it, I promise. But I'm talking to my church right now. Listen at this, y'all. And some of us ain't having no sex. Watch this. But our minds are idle. You doing everything but what you need to be doing. Somebody actually said, I don't want to do all that. But what are you doing? You're bored. You don't feel a sense of purpose. Then when we actually say, could it be what you're rejecting is a thing that God wants to open in your life to give you new joy, new peace, new family, a new identity? That's the problem. Some of y'all is shouting orphans. That's why you're always bored, because you don't know who you are in Christ. That's why the Lord told me, he said, teach on the spirit of adoption. Because when you know who you are and whose you are, there's an assurance in your identity. Talking about you bored. And you ain't won a soul to Christ all year. Yeah, it's in here. You ain't led nobody to Christ all year, and you talking about you bored. Get off TikTok. That's why I don't fool. TikTok, it's a demon on. It's something that will suck you in, and you will be on there, ain't going to sleep. TikTok is addictive. I get on TikTok maybe once or twice a month, and if I get on there, it's because somebody send me a video, and I watch it and get off. I don't have enough money to be on TikTok all day. The brokest folks love to scroll. Your money is in your thumb. Okay. Sister Yolanda said, Apostle, you're definitely teaching me today. Help me help myself. That's what I'm talking about. Just God trying to do something new. America is groaning for the new thing of God. And the saints of the Koshia are distracted by stuff that don't mean nothing. See, if you got a high drive, once you're done with that person, you're ready to go on to something else anyway. That's how you know it ain't about none. Y'all, come on now. Come on. You know it ain't about nothing, because when you're done with that, you're looking for another high. That's all it is. It's a high. Woo, throw your condoms away. Okay. And when you throw them away, that means don't do nothing. I'm sorry. I don't know. It's just coming out like that today. It's just coming out. Some of you need to uninstall. Some of you need to uninstall it on your phone. Uninstall Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Uninstall them. Some of you need to uninstall them for us, even if it's only for 7 days, so that your mind and your spirit and your body can be reset. I was reading the other day what scrolling does to the nervous system. When you scrolling and you seeing all this other stuff, y'all, it's killing your nervous system. That's why sometimes your sleep patterns and off is all of that screen time. It's killing your nervous system. God trying to do something new in the earth. And the only way that the new thing of God is revealed in the earth is through vessels that are yielded. I said, Lord, what are we going to do? Because most of your vessels are distracted by dumb stuff. Somebody said porn. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But all it does is put you in an illusion. And when you come back to reality, then what? You still ain't satisfied. You looking for the next thing. Now, there are feelings that we have, y'all. God gave them to us. Ain't nothing wrong with feeling a little something. He gave it to you. If you don't, you need to go to the doctor, because something's wrong with you. Okay? So you're supposed to feel a little something, but hear me. You got to learn discipline and self-control. Are you hearing me? What? In a dry season, I'm going to tell you what you do in dry seasons. You get distracted in dry seasons. But you got to bring your mind, your spirit, and your body. You got to rear it on in. That's why sometimes in prayer I tell y'all, rock back and forth, clap your hands. What am I doing? I'm beat my, listen, not only is my mouth going to pray, my body going to war. He teaches my hands to war and my fingers to fight. all of you, somebody say, I am a tripod human being. So I'm a spirit that has a soul that lives in a body. Say, all of me need Jesus. Come on, say it again. Say, all of me need Jesus. Yeah, and I'm done right now. What do I want you to take away with? Can you play me something soft, please? Thank you, Brother Zion. All of us are on a journey called life. I want to tell yourself, give yourself a little more grace. You like, now you didn't just beat us up, now you're talking about grace. Yeah. Give yourself a little more grace. Because we are human beings. We are humans on a journey. But we also must understand that we have to learn the wisdom of dry seasons. You ever got low in finances and you thought about all the meals you bought that was unnecessary? Or all the places you went and you really could have stayed at home and enjoyed your rent or your mortgage? Have you ever been there before? You be like, child, I spent this on that. I could have stayed at home because it wasn't all that no way. Watch this. We don't want to just become complainers. We want to be doers and we want to be learners. It's not enough complain about the bad decisions that you've made. Learn the wisdom from them. What we are, Dominion, the Lord is teaching me to learn the wisdom of when to pivot and when how we've done a thing is done. We have been faithful to our assignment in the local church every Saturday, every Sunday. We've done it for 6 years, since 2019. So many people have come, so many people have gone, some moved out of town, some got mad at me and left. Some wanted, you know, came for partners and their person didn't want them, so they got mad at me. You know, people leave churches and blame the pastor for everything. I didn't know nothing about that. How am I a witch and you came to sleep with somebody and they told you no? How did I get put in the crossfire? Pastors be catching strays, I promise. I knew nothing about that until you left the church, I promise. But it's life, it's church. That's what happens. It's a revolving door. But where we are now, Dominion, hear me. God is doing a new thing. We cannot allow, my brother coined the phrase, church brain, to keep us hostage to a paradigm that no longer fits where we are and where we're going. The Lord told me, he said, I told you to start Dominion because I knew a crisis was coming and a people needed a place of refuge. We started in 2019. The pandemic happened in 2020. We was one of the few churches that was even open in Atlanta, probably the only church for a season that was open in Atlanta. And people came, and it was just powerful. And so the Lord told me, he said, that was your assignment for that season. And then we shifted again in 2023. He said, Dominion Revival Center, Church of Thy Walls. I became afraid of what I saw for the future because I didn't want the persecution of being a futurist and a pioneer. The Lord told me, he said, that's delusion. He said, because you're already experiencing the persecution, even while in disobedience. So you might as well just go on and obey me because people gonna talk regardless. Yeah. And so the Lord spoke to me this year, and it was one Sunday we was having knockout drag. I'm talking about it was bad, knockout drag out church. And I fell out in the floor. That's how God does with me. When I fall out in the floor, it don't mean, I promise you, God is telling me something that's about to shift everything. The Lord spoke something to me. I will not share it yet. I'll share it in our vision meeting. And I closed vision meeting. But the Lord spoke something to me and it shook me to my core. And God began to show me all of the people that we will meet on our journey and all of the families and the leaders and the creatives and et cetera that will connect to what God is calling us to do. I wept and I cried. Y'all probably thought, ooh, Pastor, really in the spirit? I was, but there was a part of me that was grieving an old paradigm. God. Just because it's God, it doesn't mean you won't grieve. Right. I am churchy. Do you hear me? One of the reasons why I love this church is because it's churchy, it's nostalgia, it's old school, it's church. But watch this. The Lord told me, he said, there are some people that will never come because of that very reason. He said, the people that I've called you to, you got to go and get them. Somebody say it's a new thing. It's a new thing. It's a new thing. It's a new thing. Not only is God doing a new thing in our ministry, but God is doing a new thing in your life. You have to say, Lord, open my eyes to see new. Open my eyes to see it. May I perceive the rhythm of heaven concerning my life, because I don't want to miss it. Somebody say, Lord, I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss it. I'm excited about this month. Somebody say faith. Somebody say family. And somebody say future. I want us all to get our tithe. Amen, Brother Zion. If you